By the way, I think if Eva said the reason they set it up this way is because people want to leave. They don't have to feel bad walking past me. Feel free to leave at any point. You know, if it gets boring or too provocative to you, or, you know, it's embarrassing. Let me give a little brief introduction before we start. My name is Dovid Orlovsky. I work at local boys yeshiva, which I'm sure none of you have ever heard of just as well. And I have to tell you, I'm not really accustomed to teaching girls, frankly. It goes back 5 years. 5 years ago, it was the Gulf War. It's a true story. It was the Gulf War, Tamim Yeshiva. And my wife felt that since everybody was facing certain death, and they were stuck in the building anyway, why wouldn't they come and hear a shiur from me? So they invited the local women in the shiur, in the building, to come and hear me give a shiur. So I gave a shiur. It was so successful that the next week, if the war was continuing, they were invited back, and they said, we would rather die than have to go and hear this year again. They all stayed home, you know what I mean? I don't know how many of them died, but that was the idea. You know, that's how popular. I was traumatized by this, but I went and studied the boys' education. So I have to tell you, the topic that they asked me to speak about, platonic relationships, I used to be a regional director at NCSY. I'm going back many years when it was an organization. many years. About 9 years ago, I think. And I've been a regional director for 9 years in one of the larger regions at the time. And this kind of topic used to come up all the time. But I have to tell you, I'm not really out of practice. I haven't done this in a long time. You have to realize you're getting old. It's frightening. Now, the truth is, how do you realize you're getting old? You realize you're getting old, I guess, when the Beatles have a reunion. You know, I mean, I remember the Beatles when they first started, and they come out in walkers, you know, and you're looking at this, you're saying, this can't be, you know. But for me, that didn't really do it. Because, okay, the Beatles, I mean, anyway, you know, that can't really figure that much. I'll tell you what traumatized me. I'll tell you the truth, because we are in the most terrible institute. The Vegas Five came out. Now, to me, I remember the days. He said, remember, Rabbi Schwarzman was my advisor in seminar. Okay? He was like a nice, young, happening guy, you know, and everything. I mean, he still is. I mean, yeah. But, hello, ladies. Anyway, so, sorry, that's smiling. Anyway, which means you're really in trouble. But anyway, so, to make his fight around, we were really excited. We were looking forward to it, you know, because even though you realize that, you know, A.B. Rottenberg writes all the songs, so that the Vegas sounds exactly like, you know, Lay the Message, it sounds exactly like Journeys, it sounds exactly like the Meebos Machine, you know what I mean? And all the tunes are starting to get into each other, you know, can't even tell the difference. But the Vegas has a special place in our hearts. You're going to sing it with Kubitzer for the rest of your life. So the Vegas 5, we're really looking forward to coming out. And I put it on, and this is what really did it for me. This is how I knew I was getting old. They started a cappella, everybody singing. Right? How many people, you've heard the tape? You know? So it starts like this. And you listen closely and see if I'm exaggerating. Shalom Aleichem Malachi HaShorei Malachi HaShorei. I just got a picture, like, all these African guys, they're going to make oxygen tanks, you know. I said, oh my gosh, we're getting old. This is really happening. We're getting old. The whole perspective on relationships change, right? I remember when I first got married. I'm married now. 14 years, 18, I don't remember, actually, my wife. No, it's certainly over 10, after 10 years, I stopped counting. And when you first get married, you know, I mean, so you remember dating and relationships and stuff, you know, and then you Baruch Hashem, you have little children, you know, and little children are something special, you know, because they start off, and they, you know, the big thing is, you know, you always see a new couple when they first have a baby, you'll visit if you have friends or that. The big thing is, hold the head. Support the head. You think if you let the head drop for a second, the kid will die. You know what I mean? Support the head. Now, all I know is I always hear these news stories, they find kids abandoned in garbage cans for 3 days in stable condition, no problem. Kids fall, they drop, you know, like, but new parents are like, hold the head. And that's why somebody will always come in with a new baby and think, look, and the parents go, no! In the air, you know what I mean? No, they're fine, they're like, okay. Slowly the kid, you know, They're going to hold the head up, and they start walking like Frankenstein's monster, you know, around the house. And slowly they develop to the point where they can do actual physical damage, you know, and they start breaking everything, they write on the walls, you know what I mean? And they slowly start to grow, and as they start growing, I mean, you reach a certain point where, forget about relationships, you're talking about marrying off your children. That's really scary. I, the receiver where I am, I can ask you, he married off his daughter, and she recently had a baby, and he's a grandfather. A grandfather. That's where I'm heading towards. You know what I mean? And people start telling me about their father. You know, my father's this, my father's that. How old's your father? Ah, he's as old as my brother. Okay. Time for me to retire. So, that's when I first went into his life. That's how he comes to the story. And, you know, and I said, well, of course, you remember the story. When this took place, you weren't born. Born. So I gotta get out of use. He's not working geriatric. Only I'm afraid to work there because they'll leave me there. You know what I mean? It's just getting a little scary. See, see, it's gotta get older. So I went recently, I'm talking about 3 years ago, to a national convention. And they said they're gonna give you an optional shear to speak about during free time. Now, I don't know how many of you were involved in NCSY, you know what I mean? Free time national convention is a joke, you know, it doesn't exist, you know. Like business ethics. You can talk about it, but it doesn't actually exist. Free time. It's like speech after speech after speech, the introduction to the speech, the introduction, the national person, the regional person, on and on, speeches after speeches, go till 3 o'clock in the morning, just speeches. You just can't believe it. So now it's free time. Who's going to listen to a speech? So they gave me a topic to speak about. How much higher can I get cool? I said quickly, okay, I'm going to get maybe 2 people. Maybe. You know, if they happen to be in the wrong place when I sit down, you know, they'll be embarrassed to leave. So I changed the topic. I said, you know, my stuff was significant. I said, change the topic to dating ethics. I got 50 guys on this topic. Now, I guess this is something that seems to be on people's minds. You understand? Dating ethics. More dating than ethics, you know, the whole idea, and especially the concept of platonic relationships. Now, I'm going to try to deal with this, and like I told you, I spoke to guys on the subject, and I dealt more in that direction. I'm going to tell you a little bit what I say to guys, and like I say, that's really more where my direction is. Girls have a whole different outlook on this, and I'm going to try to introduce it, like I say, from a more of a guy's point of view. I'll try to put it into terms that girls can maybe appreciate. And then I'll open it up for discussion or just, you know, verbal abuse, whatever you think is most appropriate at that point. There's a Gemara that every girl knows. Now, not every girl knows every Gemara. Some girls know some Gemara, right? But there's a Gemara that every girl knows. It's a Chazal, famous Chazal, right? That every girl, every Yeshiva girl knows. It's the following phrase. Noshim Baitus Kalasim. Never hear this? Never heard it? Never heard it? Gosh, you're sheltered, right? It literally, what it means is Nashim Daisen Kalasin. It means the das of women are light. Now you see why you might not have heard. You never heard this? But it's, you know, it probably doesn't come up too often in women's education, okay? So actually, women got across this, and of course, this is what we call in the chinuch damage control, okay? And the chalukim bend over backwards. Of course, they don't really mean that. What they really meant is, well, they didn't even mean that. It sounds like they meant they never said it wasn't really there. And you have to understand, you put it into account, it's Kabbalah, it's Kabbalistic, you know what I mean? That's what we always fall back on when you don't explain something, you know? So you'll have some holy rabbi, you know, coming to the minister of him and say, this is let me see. Oh, yes, yes, yes. Oh, yeah. You know, and everyone's like, what? What is he doing? Is it a summit? He makes this point. And you have to listen very carefully. Not an easy idea. And, you know, we can all, like, you know, sort of, you see, that's what I like about Rabbi Zabrari. You see, he'll just come out and say, girls, I don't know what I'm talking about. Just forget about it. Just pretend it never happened, okay? Just let me say it. Everyone will have their own particular approach, right? But guys, if you say it's privilege. You just say, you know, yeah, it says you're dumb, sit down. The quote is very emotional. I know this because I substituted in soccer many, many years ago. I mean, it was for no story. And that was the second traumatizing event I had. Because when I talk to guys, you know, when I teach guys, they almost never knit. But every now and then, if you say something, they'll look at it and say, what? You know, that could be our sister's substitute. I don't know. So they sit out the teachers, and I've had those things. And invariably, they were like, do we have to know this for the test? No? And that's what it says, look, so all the smart women went to knit. You know what I mean? Well, knit away, you know what I mean? Well, this wasn't in seminary, you know, but in high school, I saw girls in high school, and I found this was an amazing thing. Girls won't talk in class. They won't talk in class. But they will do this. They'll hold a hand up to their face and then talk. Because they think if you hold a hand up to your face, no one knows you're talking. You know, they think maybe you have a skin condition or something. You know, the amazing thing is they don't even whisper. They'll just go, could you pass me the note over there? And they go, okay, you can't see me. Do you think you hear me talking? Who is talking? Not me. Not me. So it's a whole different approach. Your guys, like you just say, you know, sit down, shut up. You know, like, okay, no problem. But when they finally hit on a point, if they stop hitting, they get very emotional. I can't believe that you say that. How can you say that? I can't believe that. You know, so that means my brother is not Jewish? I don't believe that. I can't accept that. I'm sorry. I can't accept that. You know. And that's why people who teach the girls are always very like, you know, well, you have to understand, you know. And then at some point, some girl says, I can't believe this thing. Runs out the room, you know what I mean? And two of her friends run after her, you know. You know. Well, and then there's the whole part. What do you think happened? What do you think? And you see the teachers like that when they get close. Ladies, come on, guys. Come on, guys. But, you know, you have to be real careful. You have to, like, you know, make sure present things. The guys just say, sit down, shut up. You know what I mean? The guy says, I'm not comfortable with that. Yeah, I'm comfortable with this. Boom. All right, fine, I'm out. That's it. It's a little easier. It's a very emotional kind of thing. So, when you approach a chalal, should somebody approach a chalal? Not somebody chalal. You have to look at it in a certain context because we're starting off from the following assumption. This is why when I hear women's issues, you know, especially, I mentioned about, you know, I teach them discovery, the questions and answers of a whole secular audience, right? And so you'll have a girl, you'll have a woman, and she'll say to me, well, why is Judaism so anti-women? Why is women so anti-women? This is a kind of approach, a more feminist approach. So I'll ask you a question, and I'll say, are there any differences between men and women? And they'll say, no. This is great. That's a knee-jerk answer. No. So then I say, stop, look around the room. I'll wait. Take a few minutes. Say, can you find any differences between men and women? Okay, there are some. Good. That's good. We're starting. Good. There are some differences, right? Could you imagine that if there are some physical differences, there are some psychological differences? No. Impossible. Impossible? Is it really impossible that there are any differences? There's a professor in Harvard, a woman professor. She's written paper after paper and study after study which shows that because women undergo different physical changes, it affects them psychologically. She wrote in the New York Times magazine that when she presents a paper, it's like a shootout at the OK Corral. This is heresy. To suggest that there's psychologically any differences in approach to life between men and women? It's an incredible sort of an experience. And the truth of the matter is, you know, all you have to do is really get to know and see and study. You see there are definitely differences. Oh, but there are exceptions. But basically there are differences. I had one guy once in Discovery, I'll give an example. And I don't know if everybody's on approach to this particular subject, but I don't care, I don't work here, I can leave and everyone's upset, but everyone else took the pieces. But, I can believe that I never said that. Anyway, all right, you didn't mean it, calm down, I'm sure, he was just joking. Anyway,
not.
Anyway, the subject of women learning Gemara, it's a very emotional issue. I know I was once confronted by a girl who studies at a particular seminary where they study Gemara. She said to me, do you allow women to learn Gemara? I don't know if you can sense she has an agenda. I don't know if you can tell that from the question. Sometimes from the question you can tell that people are heading in a particular direction. You know? Who allow women to learn Gemara? You know? I said, me? I don't allow or disallow anything. Who am I? Ooh, that really upset her. Because she's trying to bait me as the black hat, stone thrown, flag burning, woman hating, you know, fanatic, madman. You know? So she has to switch tack. So she says, does it bother you when women learn Gemara? Like that? Psychological. Ooh. I said, no, it doesn't bother me. Doesn't bother me. But that's basically because I don't care that much about people. What do you mean? I don't know. You know, when I see things, it just doesn't bother me. I don't care. Like when I see somebody having trouble, I don't care less. So she's getting stuck here. She's getting frustrated. Well, she learned Gemara. So she says, if a girl would come and ask you, shoot, she learned Gemara, what would you tell? Right. Straightforward question. So I said, what do you care? What? So what do you care? You obviously have an agenda. If you care, that's what I have to say. Any other questions? No, wait a second. I said, look, you know, you're baiting me. You believe that women should learn Gemara for whatever reason, you know, whatever your sources are, fine. I said, what do you want my reaction? No, really. I said, yeah, really. Okay. I said, the Gemara says that a woman will not find her fulfillment by learning Gemara. So she says to me, that's just an Eitz HaTova. It's not halakha, just an Eitz HaTova. Just good advice. I said, it's true. So if a girl comes to me, should I give her bad advice? She wasn't prepared for that one. No, I'll give you an Easter raw. Learn Gemara. So she says, well, you have to understand, the Gemara was talking for different times, and times have changed, and women didn't have education, now women have education, people change, situations change, things change. I said, so when the Gemara said that women should learn Gemara, it was wrong, right? It was out of touch, right? It doesn't relate to us, right? So what do you want to learn it for? You get a feeling when this conversation is done? Okay. At the end, she really got upset at me. Okay, she got upset at me. You know, and she said, I can't believe this, I'm gonna put it in. She ran out crying, all right, you know. But the point is, you know, that obviously this is, you know, a certain emotional approach, a difference in approach that you can take when you deal with these subjects. So I say, are there any differences psychologically, any differences between men and women? Is it possible, you know? I can tell you for a fact. You understand? I mean, I've got 7 children, 6 daughters. There's a difference. One question. You know, a boy, you know, and I see the regular little boys. They have, you know, all my daughters, they're all science experimenters. And I mean, you give them a cup of juice, you know what I mean? You know, with a little napkin, you know what I mean? So they pour it over. And then they look. You want to see about gravity? You know, through, you know what I mean? They'll pour it on, they'll wipe it off. My son, we give him something about like a ball and threw it. Boom. You know what I mean? It's just these kind of things. Anything he has turns into a gun. Boom, 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 boom. That's my, they get chill, you know what I mean? You know, that's right. So the poor kid, he's one boy, one girl. And the girls always keep saying, Yako! Yako! Ema! Yako, that's my thing! Yako, that's my thing! He's like, oh, the door! Oh, the door! You know he's going to get a smack. You know what I mean? He's like, oh, the door! Oh! The girls are like, crazy. You know, you have roommates, and I'm sorry. When these apartments start fighting, right? You know, because, you know, one girl is like a total meat freak, and she goes around all the time cleaning, and you have a roommate who, like, you know, like she cooks something, and then she rinses out with water and 2 fingers, you know, to pick up, all right, who used the box? Who used that? Come on, you tell me. Oh, sure. Don't worry about it. I don't do it. Yeah. 3 girls in the room, everyone says she's the slaw. How can everyone else be the slaw? You know what I mean? Look, she throws her stuff on the floor. Your stuff is on the floor. That's in a pile. Her stuff is a mess, you know what I mean? She doesn't use deodorant. So, what about you? You make a protective cloud around you. Half a can, you let a match up, it doesn't blow up. Boom, you know what I mean? She left the cell for the next. She doesn't put it in the next. You know what I mean? And so they all say, they just go, they'll sit down with their madrichal, they'll sit down with their shabbat, and say, we have a problem. Maybe I shouldn't say anything. I don't know if it's my place. But you know, I just, hold on a second. Should I tell them about this? You know, what if he comes and goes there? And so there's psychological differences too. Right? Psychological differences. There's differences in approach. And like I said, we take the following. The Kodesh Baruch Hu doesn't favor men or women. Now, I have a discovery group that'll say, well, if there is a God and she thinks this, then what does she think, you know? I said, well, you'd have to ask her. I imagine she has no problem with this, you know. Oh, I thought you thought God is a man. Talking about? We're talking about a non-physical entity. You think he has a long beard and he walks around like a man, you know, like, come on, that's Zeus, it's like God. You've got mythology here. Well, how can we always say he? Ever hear the term Shechina? Right? Remember Komite? That's a girl's name, you know what I mean? Shechina, but Shechina, that's feminine. Because God's not he or she. God doesn't save a man or woman. And I'm going to put myself on the line here. I know it's a little scary, but I'm betting that if God wanted to, he could have made us all the same. It's radical. But I say that if God is infinite, he probably could have made us all the same, right? Worked with the hydras, worked with the paramecians. In fact, it works better evolutionarily. Because if you need another one, you just split in half. Zoo. Right? And then you say, hey look, he's got my eyes. He's got my arms. Got my legs. I'm trying to myself. He's exactly like me. Right? What can be better than everyone looks like you? Unless you're having a bad hair day, and everyone in the world has a bad hair day. Right? But in any event, right? God can make us all the same. He chose to make us different. Men one way, women a different way. Psychologically, spiritually, etc. Everyone's going to find fulfillment. The Chazal, which we rely upon for everything, to tell us whether or not when it says creates hover, it's talking about a plum, or whether it's talking about an apple, and everyone knows when it says creates hover, it means a citron. And let's face it, if it was left up to consensus, no one would pick a citron, because what does anyone got to do with a citron? You understand? Come look at you up with hundreds of citrons with nothing to do with, you know? Like, you can't even put it in your tea, you know? Like a lemon on steroids, you know? What are you going to do with it, you know? But everyone in the world knows it creates hover, means a citron, means an estrogen. All these same kind of things, which we will rely upon. Torah comes out and says, don't do any malacha. Over and over again, don't do any malacha, don't do any malacha, don't do any malacha. Moshe comes down from the mountain. What does this mean? Well, whatever you think. Whatever you think is work, interpret it yourself. You know? But it says here that if I do any of this malacha, you're going to put me to death. That's right. Good guessing. And you don't see any place where they think the guy asked for gathering six. You didn't say gathering six. I don't think that's working. I mean, kill him, boys. Everyone seems to know what malacha was. Right? That seemed pretty clear. All these things were pretty clear to everybody, right? So the Chazal tell us that there are differences between men and women. With all that as an introduction, they tell us, Noshim Daitos Kalasim. Women's Das is Kalasim. Right? Sounds sexist, sounds terrible, but the Chazal say so. I'm going to let you know a little reality. The Gemara says, Noshim Daitos Kalasim, and Rashi tells us, like the mice of Buria. Listen to this Rashi. Everyone knows, anyone here the Berea? The Berea? Cool? Yeah? Okay. So you'll appreciate the story. Berea, we hear the whole story. We know Berea was married to the mayor. She was a tremendous scholar. And so the mayor said, Nursen Dyke of Carlson. And Berea laughed. So the mayor says, isn't this funny? Okay. This is the mayor, and this is Rabbi Huda Nasi's Rebbe, the redactor of the Mishnah. So the mayor goes back to Yeshiva and he asks one of the Talmidim to seduce his wife. Just that. So comes the Talmud and he says, Julia, you know, you're really a looker. Boy, are you cute? You know, then you want to, She says, ugh, disgusting, go away. So, he sends her flowers, writes her notes, she writes back, you don't know, it's a terrible thing, go away. Every day he comes over, every day another line, like that. And eventually, Buria says yes. No. Yes. I can't believe it. Buria says yes. And at that moment, the mayor pops out of the closet and says, ha ha, that's what the girl saying. And Buria chills us up. Ruch atzwa adonoi, Hindu melech ha'ilam shahakom yet. I was going to the middle of the shiur on tefillah. And someone brought me something to drink, and I said,
wait, no, 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 no.
He said, is that the one we're supposed to do, Rabbi? Shut up. Anyway, so anyway, you hear the story? Unbelievable story. The mayor brings him to seduce his own wife. His wife says yes. He dumps out the salad, and she tells him. Let's examine the story for a moment. If Nashim Baptist Kalasane means that women are stupid, then you have to admit this is the wrong approach. Wrong approach. Show me she doesn't know how to run a tesis. You know what I mean? Shlug up a svara, ask her 10 kashas on a kabura, you know, bring up a name of Bay Kasha, you know how to learn, you know how to learn anything, sit down, go there, take a cookie in the kitchen, you know what you're doing. Show me she doesn't know anything. Ask her 10 kashas, do a riddle, that's what he does. He says, Nashim Baptist Kalasane, and what does he do? He sends one of the Talmidim to come and seduce her. And what's more amazing is he's successful. This is brilliant. What this means is the following, and this is a reality. It's an unfortunate reality, but it's a reality. This week's Pasha. Pasha is broken. There's two Pashas in the Torah. One is called Ones, and one is called Mephatha. Rape. We understand. Woman is rape. Go through it. Mephatha is seduction. If you seduce a girl, she is not held responsible. And it's called rape. That's a seduction. She said yes. She agreed. Said the gadol. Not true. Because there's a consequence I recall, nothing like the cow. That means that when it comes, and this is what you see, when it comes to relationships, when it comes to these sort of inyanim, women are dumb. I hate to put it into no such terms, but, you know, women just have a dumb streak. Now, I hope everyone's real upset at this point. It's going to get worse. Because when I say this to a group of guys, right? Now listen to this, and you'll appreciate this. I say to a group of guys, guys, have you ever noticed that girls call for the dumbest line? They will not. Yeah. And I put the following story, and they all agree. A guy will go over to a girl and give the dumbest line, and all the guys are snickering, and the girl says, really? And every guy knows, this is the biggest, most insincere lout that ever walked the face of the earth. He's a liar, he's a cad, you wouldn't trust this guy for 2 seconds, I wouldn't leave him with my 3-year-old daughter, you know what I'm saying? Intelligent women fall for the same dumb lie. If I had a dollar for every girl who came to me, intelligent, educated, with careers, with a liberal girl, who say to me, but he thought he meant it. And I say to myself, boy, you dumb. Dumb, dumb, dumb. How could you think that? But he said, he's an animal. The unbelievable word is an animal. Okay, now, two stories. There was a time that I was hired to train advisors going back to America. Parenthetically, I'll tell you a funny story. I was under the Israel Center. And they run a program in Tzotz. They used to have a Shabbaton at the end of the year. New Shabbaton guys and girls together. So I said, I'm going to make a training Shabbaton. I'm going to make one for girls and one for guys. So they said to me, it'll never go. It'll never go. Nobody will come. We've tried it. Won't work. I said, how many people participate in the Tzotz program? They said, 250. How many come to the Shabbaton? 40. How come the rest don't come? For some of them, it's a bad weekend. I agree with you. For some of them, it's a bad weekend. I said, is it possible there are some people who don't come because it's mixed? Possible. Is it possible that the people who don't come because it's mixed is larger than the amount of people who will only come if it is mixed? No. No. I said, okay, so listen, I'll do it my way, you do it your way. I made a set of girls' chaperones, a boys' chaperones. The girls' chaperones, we had 80. The boys' chaperones, we had 120. We canceled the year. They couldn't get anybody. They said it was a fluke. You did. The next year the numbers were bigger, okay? But this was interesting. So it was like tier of training and how to do cures and all that kind of stuff. So at the end, the Shalashita said there's an open question and answer. Any question you wanted to ask, let's put on the table how you'd answer. So the question came up, well, what about Nagia? I said, okay, let me explain something to you. Guys are only partially human. Partially. Guys are liars. Guys are insincere. Guys will say anything. They promise anything. They'll do anything. You can't believe a word they say. Right. Remember that when a guy and a girl are holding hands, the only one who's holding hands is the girl. The guy's already planning his next move. This is bullshit. Ask any guy. There's no guy who holds hands with a girl and says, ah, completion. This is all I ever wanted. This is so nice. The girl's not thinking that. She's really going, the guy's like, what can I get away with? What can I do next move? What can I do? Is it? Guys, and I'll tell you a little secret. There's a group of guys and a pretty girl walks by. Not one of them says, I want to hold her hand. None of them, okay? So I tried to develop this a little bit, and every girl in the room, without exception, from the most modern to the most basic girl, was doing the same thing. This. I'll go through that. Nah, I don't think so. No matter what I said, I couldn't convince them. Okay? A week later, I had the boys shop at Tone. Now, I want you to appreciate this. These are boys who all went to fine yeshivas. I'm not talking about guys from the more wild places. Guys, Shalavim, KBY, you know what I mean? Fine places, fine yeshivas. Okay? Fine, wonderful guys. All guys with yeshiva high school educations, all guys ostensibly from. All guys who decided, and this is, you know, about 8 years ago, wasn't so mikubal to learn in Eretz Yisrael for a year. All guys who chose to learn in Eretz Yisrael for a year, this is at the end of the year of learning Eretz Yisrael. Of the guys who chose to learn in Eretz Yisrael, these are the guys who want to get a Balkan Kiruv, to the point that they're willing to come to a Shabbaton to learn half. This is at the end of that Shabbaton, at the end of the year in Eretz Yisrael. The question came up, what about me? I said, you know as well as I do. Guys are the biggest liars in the world. They'll say anything. They'll do anything like this, right? They stood up and cheered. There was a girl who was staying with somebody at the place who was not sitting here. She went like this. I said, you're going to run for our life. Now, to any guy, this was pleasure. Everyone knows this. Obviously, no guy's going to say, I'm an animal. Because that doesn't work. They say, you know I really love you, you know what I feel about you, come on, that's frustrating. Guys understand it, you don't care. But every guy, when they hear the truth, knows it. I'd love to be able to get this together. So, there was this program run by FCSY called JOLT, Jewish Overseas Leadership Training, something or other, right? Okay. They take them in the summer to Eastern Europe, the concentration camps. Very powerful experience. You see these people when they come back, they're like shattered, you know what I mean? Everyone says, what camp did you go to? It's like, oh, what camp did you go to? Auschwitz. I saw the death camps. I thought, okay, please, no, you're bumming me out, you know what I mean? I saw the trains. I thought, okay, please, no, I want to have lunch, please, you know? And they're like, it's unbelievable. Do you know what this is for the guys and girls who go on the trip? It's like such a fusing program. It's very powerful. Everyone goes through this heavy emotional experience together. And then after that, they come to each other. From destruction to rebirth, isn't it? Very powerful, right? And they come to each other, and by this point, you can imagine the closeness and distance, people, the warmth, the love, right? So they come to each other, and one year, one of the people used to be an advisor for me when I was the regional director was running it. And they said, oh, well, Rabbi will ask to do a question and answer. Big mistake. So they bring me in, and sure enough, one girl raises her hand, and she says, what about platonic relationships? What's wrong with them? So I said, you should know. Guys are the biggest liars in the world. You can't believe a word that they say. They'll promise you anything. They'll say anything. You can't believe. Bah, 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 bah. Every girl in the room is going like this. Every guy is going like this. To a guy. Every guy in the room. Sitting in the seat. Okay? And the girls slowly start looking around the room and they go, with looks of horror on their face, and they can't believe it. So finally, one girl raised her hand and said, aren't the guys going to say anything? Now you'd think at least they would lie. So they lie. So no one will move. Like, after 2 minutes, nobody would move. The silence was deafening. Finally, one guy sort of meekly raises his hand. I said, yes. He says, come on, Rabbi, you have fun. Give us a chance. I said, I got swim at 12. I didn't have any fun. I don't owe you anything. You know what I'm saying? That was the closest I came to a response.
All right? And the girls walked out of that, and they said, I can't believe it. I can't believe it. They were shocked. And the guys were like, well, what are we supposed to say? I mean, it's true. Every guy was bullshit. It was bullshit. I work with secular audiences in Discovery. Guys and girls. And some dealer comes in, and he was like very healing and wonderful and sweet and nice and that kind of stuff, you know. And then I'm usually in question and answers. And then some guy or some girl, these are all people who are sexually active and have relationships, et cetera, et cetera. Right? And I'll say, so, what about kind of relationships? What about guys? What about touching that? So I say, guys are the biggest lies in the world. You can't believe a word that they say. They'll tell you anything, blah, 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 blah. And every guy says, it's true. Yeah, it's true. And the girl's like, no, you don't mean every guy. You know? And every guy says, sure, ask somebody. And even the most sensitive guys, like, you know, you see they want to try to deny it, but they can't. They just can't deny it. Okay? I know this is a somewhat frightening reality, and that girls never believe me. Okay? Girls say, but not this guy. You know why? Because I don't care what he says. This is Rabbi, I don't care what he says. We're just friends. Now, 10 years ago, I never saw the movie, but I used to just say, did you ever see when Harry met Sally? And everybody would say, oh, okay, you're right, I forget. And then there was that movie with Billy Crystal, and it's all about this stuff, it's gone with pleasure. The problem is the following, and I want you to work with me here for a minute. If you were really interested in a guy, and you wanted him to be more than a friend, and you know he only wanted a friendship, what would you tell him? Would you say, listen, I know you only want to have a friendship, and I'll do that because I'm deeply in love with you, and I'm hoping that you'll one day change your mind. No, don't be stupid. You say, that's okay, we'll just be friends. And you'll keep a picture of him, and you'll send him cards with like little cats and dogs, and you know, and blurry people on the cover, and all that kind of stuff, you know, because you're hoping that you'll slowly win him over. I had girls who I knew for a fact. These guys were desperately in love with them, or at least desperately in lust with them, you understand? And they swore to me that it's just a platonic relationship. And I said to them, how do you know? Guess what the answer is. He told me! Brilliant! Of course he told you, you moron! What do you think he's going to say? You think he's going to say, I'm desperately lusting after you, and I'm hoping for a physical relationship, and I'm trying to talk you out of being so in a gear? Of course not, you nitwit! He's going to tell you, I just want to be friends! What kind of idiot would fall for a lie like that? I can't believe it! And you know how many times I see the same thing, and they swear to me, no, we're so friends! So I said, let me ask you a question. I said, you're friends with girls? Yeah. You're friends with guys? Sure. I said, let me ask you something. When your friends with guys meet you, do they look you up and down, head to toe? Yeah. Why do you think they're doing that? Because they admire your taste in clothes? Yeah. You're an idiot! Of course not, you jerk! Don't you understand that guys are animals? But not him. He's different. $2.5 billion the same, and he's the exception. You know, that is the one exception in the crowd, the whole world. And then, that's what is again the fact of the time. Because girls are dumb. They fall for the same dumb lies over and over again. How can anyone believe that? You know that this guy is working on a different level, right? But he told me. Again, and they'll look at me and say, but he told me he meant it. Of course he told you he meant it. If that's the only way he can get you to agree, then he'll say, I meant it. He'll say anything. He'll promise, he'll swear, he'll cry. Because it makes no difference to him. Why not? You see? He's thinking on a different level. Okay. Now it could be that somebody will say to me, look, Reverend Alaska, your experience, your anecdotal evidence is interesting. But we're part of a halachic process. That's what people fall back on when they're really stuck. Okay. What about the halakha process? What does the halakha say? Okay. The Rambam says the following. As the Shulchan Aruch fastens the following. We'll start with the Gemara. The Gemara says the following state. Ein apotropos l'arayos. This means, no one is trustworthy when it comes to sexual matters. No one. You mean even someone's down in Urbach? That's right. The din of Yichud even applies to him. But he's so holy. I remember they tell this book about him. Yes. It says, even Rav Shlomo Zalman. But What about when I tell him to tell? He sings those little songs when he speaks. He looks so holy. His eyes glow. That's right. He could apply even the rabbi tell her. Even the rabbi said to him. Woo! And Jared Schwartzman. And it seems so different. The din is the same. And I'm going to go right. Okay, we know Tachin from Gemara. Ah, excellent. The Rambam brings it down like a halacha, and I'm a Jonas O'Reilly. No qualifications. That's just the Rambam. Okay, the Gemara brings it down, and I'm a Jonas O'Reilly. Okay, we're getting into trouble. Let's switch. Let's go. Emunah Ezer, Shmarara says the following. Tzorech l'shrachek min hanoshim ma'od ma'od. You know, there's two ma'ods in there. Okay? You know why? People are dumb. Because they say, well, not me. If we just said, Circus Rachek ma'od, that would only mean a little bit. You see, because O says it's a lot. So you have to say, a lot. Far, far away. Far, far, far away. Right? Because no one is considered trustworthy. You know, we've considered trustworthy. It's true. There are certain people who are trustworthy when you're dead. Now, today, I'm not even sure. Okay? But in the old days, at least when you were dead, that was considered safe. Right? Okay. Tzorech l'shrachek min hanoshim ma'od ma'od. But come on. All right. It's a gentleman by the name of Moshe Feinstein. Very excited with the bracha. You may have heard of him. There's an art school book about him. You have to be contemporary. If art school didn't write about him, he doesn't count. Fuck it. If art school didn't write about him, it could be, you know, Mr. Mike, you understand? And he's like the most special guy in the entire world. Because there's an art school story about him. Good. All right. This is Ramosha. Had a whole book. A little light went off in the stand-up. We are unbelievable. Great stuff. We don't know all about him. The rest. Ramosha has a tshuva. And I love the tshuva. Because it starts off with the following, he writes the Catskill. He's writing, he's in a summer camp in upstate New York, right, in the Catskills. So he says, there are these young men who came over to me and asked me a Catskill. What about a young man and a young woman who aren't going on Shidduchim, who want to have a relationship, right? You tell them, Reyes, as friends. They want to be friends. They're not doing anything, there's no touching, there's no this and that, just as friends. Right? And they write the following. I have to see the face of the guy who had the obvious to talk to Jay Ramosha. He says, right. And they said, they don't want to hear any mussar, they don't want to hear any hungus tovos, they don't want to hear any speeches, just halacha tsuka. Just the halacha. You hear this? Just the halacha. And he says, so I'm not going to give them any mussar, I'm not going to give any speeches, just halacha. He goes through Rambam, Ramban, he brings down others to Rabbi Nassim, he brings down source after source after source, and when the dust clears, he says, push it, usher. Without any discussion. Now, anyone who wants, get your copy of the truth, you go through all the lumbus, etc., and all the nice things, because it's really frightening. I do this with the guys in the source of Sharm Shir, you know, I go through it, and everyone says, I want to see it. So from inside, we learn through all the riots, we go through the stuff, and slowly you see this thing dawning on them as you work through it. It's halacha psuka. It's real. Right? It really comes out to the concept. Really, 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 really. Really. Okay? So besides all the other things we're talking about, black and white halacha is true. Now I'll tell you even more. I'll tell you on another level. There was a family here in Yerushalayim. Seriously. They used to have guests over all the time. In the Heritage House. They were probably true. The husband was a nice guy, quiet guy. The woman was very outgoing, very vivacious. And she basically carried, you know, the table. The excitement would go on. And one time these people came over to the Heritage House. And this one fellow, he was really interested in religion, etc., etc. So she was sitting there talking with him. Husband finally excused himself, he had to go to sleep, you know, she was talking to him, and he used to come by, and she was not being carried him, it was a wonderful, wonderful thing. Terrific, really, very good. She divorced her husband and married the guy. didn't get infertile quick. Khalila, that she would marry a non-Jew guy, who she went out of the such language in the Kyrie. You know what I'm saying? And what about your husband? I'm going to tell you a frightening fact. You can only have a limited number of really close relationships. I can have relationships, no question about it. But really close relationships where I'm going to sit on the phone and schmooze with somebody for 3 hours in the middle of the night about my problems, there's only so many relationships like that I can possibly form in a lifetime. And if you get married to a guy, and there's two other guys out there who you feel much closer to, then one of two things is going to happen. First reason is you're going to be very frustrated. You're going to have a terrible lack in your own marriage. But something terrible is going to happen. Not me. Ain't up the tropics I write. You know who's trustworthy? Nobody. Now I'm going to tell you something. There's certain girls who will say to me, but I want you to know something. I can only really relate to a guy that might be true. And please God, it'll be your husband. And I have to tell you, you know, when I talk to high school kids, by the way, I talk to these guys at the national convention, you know, I remember I said to them, I said, to talk to you about dating, I have to talk to you about marriage. And to talk to you about marriage, I have to talk to you about death. Because as far as at your age, they're the same thing. You know it'll happen one day, but they're so far in the future, who can even relate to it? You know what I'm saying? It's so far away. Okay, marriage. Now, Baruch Hashem, it's not that far away. A year, 2 years. Especially if you say, you're a second year, you're married to a colon guy. But anyway, just kidding. But anyway, you're not that far away. Getting married, starting a family. Oh, you don't have to. My wife has a lot of single friends who have built terrific careers, never got married, probably never will. But good careers, you know, going so forth. But the point is, you're getting into the posture. How many guys do you want who are like really, really close friends? Like that friend. Who calls you up when he's upset? Oh, there are guys I know who are married, and when they're really upset, they call this girl they know. And feel so bad for his wife. Why shouldn't your wife be the person? Why shouldn't your husband be that person? I don't know, we've been friends for so long. I just feel closer to him than I do to my husband. Is that tragic? Is that tragic? There comes a point, my friends, because Baruch Hu created one man and one woman. Not three of each. He didn't create Chava and Adam and Shlomi and Moshe, which he had very close relationships with. We're just friends. You understand? Because Baruch Hu knows that we don't have that ability to link too many people at a time. And you're big girls now. You're going to have to start making that decision. I tried on the list. Like I said. Ready? And what? Hello, hello, hello. The truth is, like I said. All right, I'm lying. Okay. The truth is, like I said, that guys are just this. And you know what? You're right. Women do have this ability. Oh, Hashem. That's when we get married. We get married, and let me qualify what I said. Does that mean that every guy is evil? No, definitely not. Every guy wants to be good. Wants to be good. And Mr. Hashem, you'll find a guy who's a Ben Taira, who's striving to grow, whose emphasis is becoming better, who every day and every week and every year wants to be a better person. Who every Yom Kippur wants to sit down and make a chesed and nefesh and find you a better person than they were this Yom Kippur than last Yom Kippur. And that's the kind of person you want to build a life with. Because you want to get out of a home that's mamish filled with kedusha. That's the foundation behind it. That's clear. So you want to find a guy like that. Okay? But that, you should know that he's wrestling with a part of himself. He is. On a different level than you are. They're different. Right? Baruch Hashem. Baruch Hashem. Right? They're more aggressive, and they're you know, all those wonderful things that will, that they have to bring into a relationship. Right? But because of that, you understand, you take it outside of that context, and that's it. You take out the good from the Ish, you take out the hate from the Isha, and you're just left with Ish. That's it. And it's very appropriate. Right? The Ish has the good, and the Isha has the hate. Because what is Rashi saying? Behi baram, right? In Bereishis, behei baram. This world was created with hay, Shemayim was created with yud. Because the yud sends down the shefa, right? The Shemayim sends down the rain. The earth takes in and creates life. The earth has that power to reach inside of it and create life. The yud has the power to contribute, to get it started. There'll be a man out there who will marry who's going to help you realize your greatest potential. And who you help to realize his greatness. Or you can tell me for the relationship. Although there's other clouds. And when you really need them, they're floating or sleeping. You understand? Off they go. That's a choice you have to make. And I have to tell you, really meaningful relationships, you only have the ability to form so many in a lifetime. It's kedai to focus it on somebody who's really good. Questions? Hey, nobody left. My goodness. You're a brave group. All right. So, yes?
What's the
death after? I'm restoring you to the tshuva. All right? It's kedai to go through it because I don't want to discuss all of that in a public forum, but it's kedai to go through the tshuva. All right, my friends. I'm a slightly stunned. Yes? What a frightening concept. Clearly not. Yes.
Now you're doing this whole thing about guys are all pigs. Now you're like happy guys, and you say like, goodbye, you're a pig, nice knowing you.
No. That's why I said at the end, I don't mean to say they're pigs. I mean to say that they have that potential. So consequently, right? Consequently, a guy wants to be good. A guy wants to be good. I believe that. Especially a guy who's a Ben Taira. He wants to do the right thing. But it's hard. There was a cartoon, Funky Winkabee. I don't know if he's still around.
Yeah.
He's still around?
Yeah.
Comics to Funky Winkabee. And I remember one time a friend was saying to Funky that the thing came out, the study, and it said that the average teenage boy spends 47 seconds out of every minute thinking about sex. And he stops, and he says, what does he do the rest of the time? You see? To say that there's an obsession is unfair. And all you have to do is see these movies, these teenage movies, that are aiming towards the teenage boys. And I don't have to tell you that they're not usually filled with deep, lasting relationships that they're forming in a meaningful level with women. That's not what they're about. Why? Because this is who they are. There's an age. It's an age. It's raging. So they have to try to keep it under control. Okay? So now I say to this guy, all right, here's this guy who's basically a nice guy, but I know, right, that if I'm going to have this relationship, I'll listen to another little secret. This guy's usually admitted after a while. Guys don't usually have platonic relationships with girls they don't find attractive. It just works out that way, just dumb luck. You know what I'm saying? But it's just funny. You know what I mean? Guys don't usually have kind of relations with really hideous looking girls. You know what I mean? I wonder why. But any event, so there is this other element there. So you say, listen, I really care about you and I really respect you, but I care about you too much to keep this relationship going. It's not fair to the girl you're going to marry, it's not fair to the guy I'm going to marry. So then the orphan, in other words, arbitrary language, well, maybe this is for Tzalelis. Maybe this is, not right now, but it could be after a little few years, right? That this is really developing into something. Anyone ever get that one? Yeah? So then you say, okay, then you know my number. And it's not easy, don't you understand? You formed a very powerful bond and you have to split it. It's very hard. Yes?
Who,
me? I'm so easygoing, I should have never come to
that. Is this at all possible? I mean, they're all thinkable, that guys and girls might not be attracted to each other.
Yes. Yes.
When you're alive.
Yes. Absolutely. Now let you know a little secret. Okay? Any guy can be attracted to any girl, and any girl can be attracted to any guy. And that's why, you know, you probably know it yourselves, or those of you who dated or whatever, you know, you'll come back from date and they'll say, he's nice, but I don't think he's attractive. And as the relationship grows, he's kind of cute. What happened? What happened is that there's always more to a relationship. We can choose to love anyone. I'll tell you a scary story. This guy got set up with this girl from a very wealthy family. And he came back from the first date, and he says to his roommate, he says, nice girl, but I'm not attracted to him. So he says, I bet you'd be pretty if you dress up $100 bills. They got married. But the point is, you can choose to be attracted to whoever you want. So is it possible that initially I'm not attracted to? Ah, come on, you know this. Is anyone in this room who can tell me that there's never been somebody who you were not attracted to and developed an attraction for? Yes.
No, I mean, like, after. I'm saying, like, you know, that after they okay, then, you know, I'm very close to you. I'm not attracted to you in the least bit.
Right. You can say that. That doesn't mean he can. And you'll never know because he won't tell you the truth. Yes?
Well, then
our pigs. They're not. They're potential pigs.
But it's not
going
to say that they'll be any nicer or they'll be any more considerate.
That's why you want
to.
I know what you're saying. That's why you want to marry a guy who's not running around with relationships with 5 or 6 or 10 or 20 other girls.
So what's the difference? If they're going to have that distinction, the characteristics, they don't treat girls like they don't.
Every person is right, every man, even more than women, because you know, even we know this from statistics. Every man is a potential murderer, right? And therefore, a guy who likes to throw knives at people and shoot into crowds is not the kind of guy I want to hang around with. So any guy has the potential to dehumanize women. In fact, I'll take it even further than that. Dehumanizing each other is the strongest drive we have. And that's the reason why when Adam and Chava ate from the Eitz HaDaat, the first thing they said is, hey, we're naked, let's make clothes. Because suddenly when the rock came inside of them, they said, I have the potential to dehumanize somebody. That was scary to them. They wanted to cover themselves up. Right? I just had another thought. I mean, I wasn't planning on getting into this, but just another idea about girls being dumb. I went to the Central Hotel. And I didn't appreciate this, so I went back to America and I visited the Volvo Box, okay? I went to the Central Hotel, and there's a guy. The whole bit. And he's there with his son, with the Bruscatellas and that. And his daughter's there with this skirt that comes above the knee. And she's sitting there for all the world to see. Okay? So I was a little surprised. Okay? I see in Haranov, where I live, the guy is walking down the street, typical, you know, got the pace behind his ears, his hat's on a little crooked, he's a little lemon. The woman is wearing this scoop neck dress with a short skirt and a slit. And I said to my wife, what is he thinking? Does he think nobody's looking at his wife? Now, I'll tell you what I think girls are dumb. Because girls really think that when they dress this way, guys are admiring their fashion sense. They don't think that they're just staring at you like you're a pinup, like you're just a naked picture. They are. It's a reality. So, if you're going to marry a guy who, you're right, you know, subscribes to Penthouse, you know, who works in the street, check out, go, whoa, you're right. Then you're marrying a guy who has the potential not to be sincere in a relationship. But if you have a guy who knows that this is a potential and works to control it. Yes, there's a cosmic spirit. They know him. The guy comes to look when he walks down the street. Is it? And you always have girls who say, well, he stands, it's his problem. Is it? No, if somebody dehumanizes me, that's my problem. You understand? There was this girl on Discovery, you know, she was not wearing that much, you understand? And she goes, I think guys respect me, you know? So I said to another girl, I said, when that guy talks to her, just watch where he's looking. Piece of advice if you knew me, okay? She says, you're right. Then eye contact they weren't making. You understand? And the point is that he has no respect for this girl as a person. It's not interested in what she has to say. You understand? I'll let you know another secret. I'm scared. I'll give away all these men's secrets. Guys are upset at me. I'll tell them when I read these kind of speeches, you know. When a guy's with another guy and a guy says something that sounds kind of cutesy, the guy will respond to me like, oh, that's so stupid, shut up. Right? When a girl says it, they go like this. It's not because they think it's wittier or more intelligent. It's because they'll suffer through it. Because they're interested in a bigger level. So you're right. Now you got to make a decision. Every guy has this potential to dehumanize you. But you want to look for a guy who is interested in not forming a bunch of relationships with a bunch of girls, is not sitting on the phone at 2 o'clock in the morning, she was with 3 or 4, you know, really close friends. You understand? And then, you know, you see him in a pizza place, and these three girls come up to him, hi, Charlie, hi, hi. And you go, oh, hey, oh, you see that, you're great, how you doing, oh, blah, 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 blah. You know, you see him, this is like his fiance or his wife, and their mouth drops open, and they say, who's that? Oh, she's just a friend. Right, remember the time we were, oh, and the wife is like, he says, oh, don't be so jealous. You got a problem. No, he's got a problem. And she does have a problem. Him. You see? But if you marry a guy like that, good luck. Good luck. And if he's faithful to you, Baruch Hashem. And if he's not, well, life's tough. You see? And I have to tell you, I'd like to tell you that this is not on the rise. But I might as well tell you that a study was done in Queens College of the modern Orthodox community on campus. And they discovered that the majority of the guys were engaging in premarital sex. Period. And when they get up in Lincoln Square Synagogue on the West Side, and they have to speak out in public about the tefillin dates. You know about those? When the guy takes the tefillin with him on the date because he needs it for the morning. Right? And this is the worst. And you have big balls in communities around the New York area where they have to matter for single women to use them so at least they won't be high of courage. Well, wake up and smell the coffee, kids. I'm telling you, nothing's going on out there. It's a reality. And if you want a guy like that, get yourself an apartment on the West Side. Good luck to you. I'll see you when you're 35. And we'll have the conversation again. You understand? But if that's not what you want, then, you know, start making a decision who you are, what you want to marry, what kind of home you want. You want a husband who's looking all over the place like he looks at you? And if he's only looking at you and he's looking at 4 other people at the same time, oh, what do you think's going on? I'm sorry, I mean, it's a sad reality, but that's what's out there. You know, and you have to decide what you want. You want a guy who's really popular, who all the girls flock to, or you want a guy who knows how to set up gedarim. I was single as a regional director my first couple of years. You see? And people said, how did you do? I said, I built gedar on top of gedar on top of gedar. So, when I was in Shabbaton, I was with the kids. Non-stop. And at the end, when everybody was going out to hell judges for ice cream, I politely excused myself. And when all the advisors want to schmooze in the back, I had other things to do. And if you want the guy who, at the advisor Shabbaton, wants to sit down at the table with the girls so that they can get involved and let them know, because we're a team, let's work together, he ain't the marrying kind. Oh no, he ain't the marrying kind. Anyway, I have to tell you. Yo, listen, that's what's out there. You understand? Yes. Hold on a second. Is there any rapper in the world who talks like this? Is this straight? No, I'm it. Yeah, go ahead. I'll tell you quietly. There were these girls from my Yaakov in my house with these skirts. I just at the means when they sit down, they keep doing this the whole time. You know what I mean? And I said, did they talk about this when you were in high school? They said, epic, they said, sensitivity, it's smooth. I said, guys are looking at you like you are a naked lady. They're staring at you like you're a prostitute. Do you understand what I'm telling you? They're going to have a heart attack. Someone's going to tell you the reality, kid. Wake up. It's not a question of certain levels of sense. It's a question of you are dehumanizing yourself and turning yourself into a piece of meat. I'm sorry, what's Christie?
So North Dakota, I'd love to. Thank you very much. Yeah.
Professional relationships with colleagues. How do you keep a professional
relationship? Oh my gosh, this used to be such a question. Did you ever hear Anita Hill? Did you have a book and a movie called Disclosure? Okay. They had these hearings on Capitol Hill about sexual harassment. You know, and they started discussing, you know, he said this dirty joke, he made this provocative statement, and it wasn't, come on, that's just office talk. That's McCool, that's how people talk. And as the stuff started to come out, somebody from training said, hey, you know this little cola wives who we send off to work all the time, or we sit in Yeshiva going to Chabba Chabba? What's going on out there? And they started asking their wives, is this stuff going to happen? She said, sure, all the time. It's scary. So when you sit down and have a professional relationship, you build gather on top of gather on top of gather, over and over and over again. Trust, God, I don't see these letters to Dr. Morris Mandel, which he writes, where he says, oh, the joke? Take that. Anyway, where he says things like, you know, these married women, they're right in, I my husband, he's not that interesting, and I go off to work, and I meet these exciting people, and blah, 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 blah. And now he has to figure out what to do. Should she flip him or not? Should she break up the relationship? How long? Blah, blah, blah. Not only have a husband, he says, I don't know, my wife, she comes home, she's calling this guy from the office, that guy from the office, this guy from the office. You know, if you have some professional relationship, build together on top, together on top, together, and be afraid. Ain't up a Trevor's Law Rios is a halacha. Don't trust yourself. Yes. Yes.
What about gay guys?
When I was in Discovery, Mutti Burger said interesting business. Hey, it's a legitimate question. So, you know, somebody asked me one. If a guy is gay, which side of the machita does he sit? So, Mutti Burger said, you know, because this is a big thing that homosexual people can't help themselves. They can't help themselves. So Mutti Burger said, you know what it means if you can't help yourself? It means if two guys are about to engage in a homosexual relationship and smoke is coming in the door, people start screaming, fire, 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 and they go through with it anyway, that's called not helping yourself. But like I told you, you, for enough, the motivation is strong enough, you can fall in love with anything, with anybody, etc., etc., etc. Okay? So a guy says, I'm definitely gay, and I'm not interested. Usually there's the swing, you understand? So heterosexual, bisexual, and people are experimenting and trying out different things. So a guy can tell you anything he wants, like Morgan. Then you start to be confident. We're the cowboy here. Yeah. What's up? Stunned, aren't you? Yes. All right. Don't be nervous. Anyone?
Okay,
so you hope. I'm going to let you know a little secret. You know, I shouldn't reveal these things. You know, the guys that talk among themselves, they're not usually discussing platonically the other girls in the group. Sorry to tell you that. So although, when everyone's all together, the guys are all going, and they're discussing it in less than the most platonic terms. You can have a platonic relationship if you like Plato. Think about it. Anyway. Yes. Yes, dear. I met a girl on the day who is head of a psychiatric department. And she had a whole bunch of patients. And she gave it up to come here and learn. I said, what'd you do with your patients? Because I understand it, in the psychological relationships, it's very, very strong. She said, that's true. There's something called transference. And if our motivation is strong enough, we can transfer somebody to somebody else. Yes, it can be done. Yes? What do you think I'm kidding?
Because you can't say to a friend, I have another friend I'd like you to see for a while.
Absolutely not. But you can invite him over with you and have them get to know each other and then excuse yourself. And if the guy is the kind of guy who they would connect with, understand? Then you can connect that in this direction. Right? Unless the guy's just, you know, interested in shooting because he's really attracted to you. Which happens. To sell yourself for the cause? No. Secular people are much easier to deal with than Orthodox. The secular people still have a concept of having respect for other people's views. So therefore, when I came up from my year in Eretz Yisrael, and I had relationships with girls that I didn't find attractive in the least, who used to bug me, you know what I mean? I had nothing to do with, basically. But I had this relationship, and it was very strong, and, you know, the family friends, and blah, 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 blah. And my Rebbe said to me, you have to break these off. And I wrote them all very nice letters, and I said, I'm very sorry, it hurts me, but this is what my Rebbe said to me. And the letters I got back were, I don't understand it, I don't agree, but I respect your opinion. You know, he said, it doesn't work that way. In other words, there's a rule, right? I was once teaching in a conservative high school, Hebrew high school, and you know, and I was really doing some jobs with these kids. The whole issue came up with davening without a machita and this everything. So the guy was ostensibly Orthodox, like ran the youth group, and so they asked him point blank, "I don't see this is awesome." So he says, "There's a concept: mitzvah gereres mitzvah, avera gereres avera." But sometimes a very gereres mitzvah. You have to know when and in what circumstance. And everybody nodded. And I said, it's a good point, except for one thing. It doesn't say that. My Mishnah says, a very gereres avera. And it doesn't say, and sometimes a mitzvah. You understand? So I say I'm going to do something wrong and something good will come out of it. There is a God who runs the world. I believe in him, really, very strongly. And I believe that if I do the right thing, that's my obligation, and nothing bad will happen because of it. You have to trust God. God also runs the world. Okay? I know we think that if we don't take care of it, then God won't know what to do. So if I don't work with this guy won't be for me, and it's up to me. And God, he has his laws, but he has to understand. Sometimes I know better, you understand? And when push comes to shove, at some point we have to take on a certain humility and say, there is a God who runs the world, and he told me not to do this, and it hurts, and I don't understand it, but if I have to sometimes take my mountain, my chin up onto a mountain and sacrifice him because God said so, God said so. And if my mom is going to be really upset at me because I came back and I learned now that, you understand, you can't wash your dishes in the same dishwasher, and you know, I'm going to have to change things around, they're going to be very upset at me, tough. And if I come back from Israel and I suddenly found out that a sheer of matzah is, you know, is much bigger than I thought it was, and I'm looking at each little crumb and I'm going to lift the lid and shove the stuff down my throat and gargle with wine, you know what I mean, and everyone's going to laugh at me, that's the law. When push comes to shove, we only have one thing, the Torah. And we're never going to be able to spread the Torah by grace. Yes. Boy cousins, are no fun. You see, cousins are not brother and sister. Cousins often have relationships that are beyond familial. And therefore, we have to deal with our cousins as we would with other boys. That's why when you find someone who has this like real deep relationship with a boy cousin and they're calling them all the time, that not healthy. Yes? Oh, so that's why, you understand, if you're involved in a relationship which is inherently unhealthy, then you have to suspect that there's something unhealthy going on. If, however, we're in a controlled environment, which is what dating should ideally be, right? And therefore, I had the guy checked out first to make sure that I'm what he's looking for, and he had me checked out, and he knows that I'm what he's looking for, and now the two of us are starting, and there are controls, and there's limitations, and there are, you know, we both have advisors, and you know that everyone's doing the best they can to keep things on the up and up. Short of that, there are no guarantees. I'm going to tell you a story. I hate to even tell this story. I'm embarrassed to tell it. A guy calls me up with a story. I get embarrassed sometimes. Embarrassed. Guy calls me up. They're married about a year and a half. And he says, listen, I never really learned Hilchos Neder that well. Tell me if this makes sense. My wife went to the mitzvah and she had a shiloh because she had some kind of, you know, skin rash, whatever it is. And she goes to a rav. And this is a rav who's a mechabes svarim. You understand? And this is a rav who's the head of a shkuna, and he's the, everything. You understand? And he says, let me see it. You know? And he starts to feel it. He starts to check it. And he says, is it other places in your body? He says, yes. And he has this robe. And he touches her in different places. And then he says, it's mutter. And she came back, she came back with a vague feeling that this is wrong. And she tells her husband, who lives in the mirror, and he doesn't know how to sleep, but he also thinks it's wrong. And he calls me up to ask me, I said, are you crazy? This guy's a sicko. With all the long ago, and with the hat, and with the vest, and the beard, and everything. And we called Rebbe, and I made him go to Rebbe Yashiv, and Rebbe Yashiv said there had been another problem, and there were all kinds of, you know, checks and balances put on him. Now I see he can't pass the Neva Shilohs anymore. And he went to his wife, and when his wife leaves, she has to take the telephone with her, and all kinds of things. And then, when he says, end up with trouble for the writers, it means everybody. And if a guy comes over to you, be him a rav, be him a yeshiva guy, be him this, be that, you know, you have to go in with a pachas. You have to go in and say, hey, number trouble's on rayos. I gotta be careful. I'm lost. You gotta help me with this one. You mean if he's engaging in a physical relationship with you? Dumb, dumb, dumb! Have you been listening? Dumb! Alright, let's put all the cards on the table. Ladies, if there's anyone here who's not showing the gear, see if what I'm saying makes sense. Do you ever notice that when, you know, you're a particular guy, you make a line, and you say we won't pass this line, and then you make another line, you say we won't pass that line, and then you make another line, and at some point you say this went too far, and we say we're going to be shoving the gear. And then when you start and you break it, which you always do, you don't start from the first line, you pick up at the third line, all right? Can anyone tell me that this is not what usually happens? The list that your mom is playing with fire, I'm telling you, there is no guy who from holding hands or hugging or kissing is going to walk away fulfilled. He's going to want more. That's a reality. It's a physical reality. And if a guy tells you no, he's lying. He's lying. Yes? It's funny to me. There was in my share this morning, people said, I don't know how they found out about it. So Rabbi, I hear you speaking, but no sir institute tonight. I said, how do you know? Rumor has it. Can we come? I said, no, you can't come. She says, well, what are you gonna say? I said, in that sense? I said, yeah. So I'm gonna go off on the kinds of Russian bags of columns and how girls are dumb and they fall for these really dumb lines. I said, Rabbi, you can't tell them that. I said, but it's true. I know, but you can't tell them that. You understand? They were petrified. Every guy knows it. When I said it to a guy's group, this discussion lasts 2 minutes. Everyone says, you're right. You're right. I used to have the gear come up. So I knew you'd get experience. You'd ask these things for a few years. So I used to say, the Chacham say, Chachamim, the Asayra, they would argue back, we go on and on with this. That's why I just said, you guys are lawyers. You're telling me you really want to hold their hands and you're satisfied? And every guy says, you're right, I'm lying. That's it.
No, guys, it's right. Guys know that girls fall for dumb lines. You don't believe it, but it's so true. I'm telling you, when I sit down, that's why so much of what I do is in a mixed group, because girls like to become horrified. They can't believe it. They say, not mine, I'm not the guy I'm friendly with. He's different, he's special, he's this, he's that, blah, 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 blah. Forget it. It just doesn't happen. And I tell them this. I tell them, when I told this group, I'm dumb for it. You know, this stuff has been taped. I'm not embarrassed what I say. You know, when I said to the guys, I said, listen, before we start, you know that you hold the cards. Because you know that girls fall for the dumbest lines. And they're like, oh my, yeah. Like, they don't know this. It's like, don't promote the guys. Feels like a finish. Oh, can't be. Forget it. And guys are such a double portion. They know it's black and white. Any other questions? Yes. Your family, friends. Do people ever? There's an interesting Rashi on the Parsha of Shlomo's Bat Yivri. It's good to read that through. In any event, I'm going to refer you to Rav Meir Shetshuva for the nitty gritties of when and how and how much. Does that mean I have to work down the figure? No. But I have to, when I get involved in a relationship and a conversation, I have to have my guard up. Yes. Better safe than sorry. I tell you, you only have one life. It's a pity to waste it on things that you're going to regret when you're married 2 or 3 years. Yeah. Oh, come on, there you go.
All
guys have this on their mind. And how come we have so many men rabbis? I'm just curious, what are we thinking? I can
vouch for Rabbi Orach, you have nothing to worry
about. No, I know certain guy rabbis who won't teach in girls' schools. And those who do teach in girls' schools, you know, Mary Redmond teaches here? No?
Yeah.
Don't say yes, don't say no, okay? come, when it comes out of those transcripts, it's going to be some interesting points to do. But anyway, did I in this plan? Anyway, you know, Rabbi Redmond told me, I mean, his wife is here, I'm not embarrassed to say it, you know, Rabbi Redmond said to me, when he teaches, he sets up Gedorim, and there are limits, and he has hours, and he, you know, he does not relate with his girl students the same way he does with his guy students, and nor should he. Well, it's not your information, though. Well, it's not your information, Torah told me that he is able to talk to a girl and not see her. It takes a while, right? What? He said it to me, not to a girl. If he says to a girl, I suspect it. And we will stick her. You know what I'm saying? But you're right. Revolving doesn't talk to women. He stops talking to women. Understand? You're right. There is a certain chasm. So therefore, you know, when a guy walks in to teach girls, or to relate to girls, yes, he should do it with kedorim and with a certain pacha. You have to set limits. You have to know how and what within a certain context. You know, and I will never relate to girls that I teach or that I work with the same way I will for guys. I won't.
The same way, but
so you're right. It's a danger. It's a danger. It's an occupational hazard, and you have to know how you handle it. You're right. If I tell you it's not a problem, I'm lying to you. Right? Yes, your men teachers have to deal with this too. Not every person, but other people. Yes.
Hi.
See, I don't have this problem because after I talk to a girl, nobody wants to talk to me ever again. You know what I'm saying? He's terrible. Yes. Take it. Woo!
Comment on your question.
I'm going to tell you a story. 1 second. Hold the story. I was asked to give a shiur in my neighborhood in High Knoll for women. And I told you after my Bridge Fanatic experience, I wasn't, you know, interested in getting involved.
But okay, I gave it a shot. So I give it a shot. <clear. laughs> I start giving a shear in the filthy shark. To married women in the neighborhood. Some seminary girls come also and stuff. But they told me, though, how many people come. They said, oh, I think you have to figure for these married women. Sure, I'm 10 to 15. You know, I said, okay, you know, I never did it. I'll give it a try. First week we had 35. Next week we had 45. Next week we had 55. Then we hit about 60. That's what we are. And I don't know why. It must be the book. In any event, when I give the shear, I have to tell you the truth. I don't know who's there. There's a bus stop for some superstar. Whenever I'm coming out, I try to give anyone going to show a better ride. Well, the thing is, when we get in, you know, they say, oh, Rabbi Alasky, I love your shear. And sometimes I say, thank you, Rabbi. I say, who are you? I say to my wife afterwards, who was there? She says, didn't you see? No, you move yourself into a different, you try to move yourself into a different plane. You know, certain people you notice, and certain things you notice, you know. But you're right. You know, you have to go in with a different approach. But
yeah, girls,
yes, yes. Girls also have the power to dehumanize. Not as good as guys. No, guys know perfectly well. Very hard to seduce a guy against his will. Even if you think so, you know what I'm saying? But he's like, oh no, save me. Yes.
What about, like, when you have a, like, a conversation, like, on the internet or whatever, like, if you repeatedly, like, you know, touch at the same time.
I'm glad you mentioned that. Because I had a guy, I was talking to a yeshiva guy last year, who was ready to marry a non-Jewish girl. But the understanding that hopefully she was going to convert, it is a guy letting you share from a front family. Because they formed this relationship over the internet, and it got really heavy, and then her father died, and she contacted him, and he finally went out to see her, and they formed this really powerful relationship. I don't know if that answers the question. Yeah. Anything else? Yeah? Okay. So, ladies, it's been a pleasure. And my goal this evening was not to upset anyone. It's a nice side benefit. My goal was just to, I have to tell you, you know, rabbis are notorious for beating around the bush. You understand? I don't know how many of you experienced this in day school, where you go over and you try to pin down a rabbi and you're like, well, it's hard to say, I don't really know, that's because often they're afraid of offending, or they're afraid of losing their job, etc. I'm not afraid of anything. I don't care. You understand? I'm telling you the truth, and I'm telling you to you only because you've got to hear from that place. You know, I've seen too many, I've had to pick up the pieces too many times of girls who ruin their lives in these kind of really crummy relationships and really dopey things. And always I hear the cry, but he said, but I believed him, but I couldn't have thought, I never would have imagined. And then I say, but didn't people tell you that? Yes, yes, but I said that this one's different. There was that. And halacha, ain't up the trouble, right? The Chazal is giving us good advice. Let's take advantage of it while we have the opportunity. Thank you very much.